Greetings and welcome to another series of Daf Yomi podcasts. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom, and we are now beginning Masechet Gittin. Just a couple quick introductions and take a look at the handout. There are two pages, one page numbered zero, which is the introductory page, has a lot of helpful information about the Masechet, and then page one, which details today's session. Masechet Gittin is made up of nine chapters, all but the middle two really focus on Gittin with the normal amount of tangents, both halachic and agadic. There are two very significant agadic passages that are long, but they are much later in the Masechet. The first three parakim are devoted to Gittin, as well as the last four, Parak Dalet and He, which begins with a topic about Shlichut HaGet, and then goes on to all sorts of other ordinances made Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam. And when we get to the fourth parak, I'll introduce that. However, in order to understand the topic of the first sugya, I have to keep in mind that a get may be sent through an agent. When an agent brings a get, the concern is that there may be some problem which will appear later on with this get. And as a result of that, the rabbis made a takana sometime evidently in the first century or first century BCE that a person bringing such a get from X to Y, where X to Y is also subject to dispute, must declare when he brings it the following formula, b'fanai nichtav u b'fanai nechtam. This get was written in my presence and it was signed in my presence. Now just to back up a minute, keep in mind that a get has several sets of witnesses. There is one set of witnesses that signs their name to the get, as is done with any other shtar, although their function may be different than with a regular shtar. And there are also witnesses who may be the same two, or maybe other witnesses, who watch the husband hand the get over to the wife, or agents thereof. Question is, which are the edim that really create the gerushin, that are really the vital edim for the gerushin? That's a machloket that we'll encounter throughout the Masechet. Rameyan Rabbalazar, edim Asirakarti, edim Chatimakarti, and we will get to it at that point. However, as with any other shtar, and we saw this in the second chapter of Ketubot, there is a concern about validating the signatures to make sure the witnesses' names match who they are and the signatures are not forged. That is one consideration. There is another consideration about a get, that a get must be written lishma, meaning for the purpose of this particular woman, this particular husband, divorcing this particular woman. You cannot write, for instance, a series of gitin with a bunch of variable names, and then somebody goes and finds one and says, oh, that's my name, that's my wife's name. We'll deal with that in the third parak. These considerations come to play in a discussion about the ordinance of b'fanai nichtam. As we will see immediately, there is a dispute between Rava and Rabba in the fourth century in Bavel about what the reason for the ordinance is, and that will occupy a good part of our attention over the next few podcasts. But let's get to the Mishnah immediately. Now, this sugya b'fanai nichtam continues really, in a sense, through the first parak, although the end of the first parak deals with some other issues of shtarot and shtar shichur and shichur avadim, etc. And it also occupies the attention of the first mishnah in the second parak. Starting from daf yod zayin, we then go into the real issues of gitin, kashrut haget, etc., etc. So now we'll begin with our mishnah. Hamevi get. Now, the first two mishnayot are grouped together. The second Mishnah we're not going to get to until Dav Zayin, so we're not even going to read it today. We're going to read the first Mishnah, even though the second half of the first Mishnah we won't deal with for a while. And then we'll go immediately to the Gemara. When we get to the topic of the second Mishnah, we'll go back to this Mishnah, to Dav Bet Amud Aleph, and see it. Hamavi get m'dinat hayam. So somebody brings, as an agent, brings a get from overseas. So Rish Shemar m'fananechtam, he has to make that declaration as he's giving the get to the woman. Rabban Gamliel Omer, he adds, says, Afa mevi min harekem unu min hacheger. Even if he brings it from rekem and cheger, which we will deal with much later on in the Gemara, where they are, but they are evidently cities that are right near the border of Eretz Yisrael, meaning he doesn't have to be coming overseas, he just has to be crossing the border to be included in this rubric. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afilu mikfar ludim lud. Rabbi Eliezer raises the bar a little bit and says, even if he's coming from Kfar Ludim Lulud, meaning if he's coming within sort of adjacent cities that are just on the other side of the border, and maybe even the border may even cross in the middle of them, then he still has to make the declaration. Chachamim omrim, einot zirich sharon fananichtav fananichtam, elam evim imdat hayam hamolich. They seem to negate the earlier opinions and say, close border issues, there's no need. It's only if you come really overseas. V'hamolich v'hamevim dinam dinam dinat hayam. Or whether, if you take it from one state to another, one province to another, outside of Israel. Zirich sharon fananichtav fananichtam. And that's the end of Mishnah Aleph. Rav Shimon Gamliel says even, and it seems to be dovetailing back to the earlier set of Rabban Gamliel, then Rabbi Eliezer, Rav Shimon Gamliel seems to be taking even one further step, almost ignoring what the position of the Chachamim here. We'll have to put that all together, but it will be in several podcasts. Rav Shimon Gamliel says even if you go from hegemonia, meaning one, an area within a city that is under the control of one government, to an area in the same city that's under the control of another government. A recent example, of course, that comes to mind is Berlin or Yerushalayim before 1967. When you're going from one city to another, one area to another within one city that's under separate jurisdiction, then you would still have to make the declaration. That seems to fit the set of Rabban Gamliel and Rabban Eliezer, and again, we'll have to understand the structure. Now to the Gemara. My Tama, what's the reason for this decree? Rav Amar, Lefisha Ein Beki'in Lishma. Rav Amar, Lefisha Ein Edim Mitzuyim Lekamo. That sets up the next few pages of discussion. Rav says that the reason for this Takana is Lefisha Ein Beki'in Lishma. Outside of Israel, the Batei Din are not so expert. They're not careful to make sure that the Gittin are written properly. Therefore, the agent who comes has to say, I was there when it was written. And, of course, that seems to be an incomplete statement. We'll deal with that. Rava says that's not the concern. The concern is that since you're bringing the get from overseas, if somebody challenges the signatures, there's nobody there, because the witnesses are overseas, there's nobody there who can validate the signatures. Therefore, the one bringing it has to say, I saw it being signed, and therefore I'm testifying to the validity of the signature, sort of acting as a notary. Now, my benayhu, what cases will fall differently depending which position we take? So, Ikam and I, there's three cases brought. That's Yehu Beitrei. Let's say two people brought it, not one, but two. Then Rava would no longer have a problem because he said, after all, these two guys themselves are the witnesses. So they wouldn't have to say, Fananichtav, Fananichtam. However, Rava would still have a problem because we still have the concern that the people in Chutzlarts don't know how to write a get properly. Inam, Dinam, Dinam, Eretz Yisrael. The other possibility is if you go from one province to another in Eretz Yisrael. There, Rava would have the problem because the witnesses still are not around. On the other hand, Rabba would not have a problem because all the Batei Din in Eretz Yisrael know what they're doing. Inami, Botam, Dinam, Diatayam. And a flip of that is if you go within one province in Diatayam, if you go from Castile to Aragon, then you, on the one hand, the Batei Din, we assume, are not so expert. On the other hand, the witnesses are available. So Rava would say, I don't need it. It's local. On the other hand, Rava would say, I do need it because there's no expertise there. All right. That's the layout of the dispute. And now we're going to do something in parallel. And that is to challenge each one of the Amoraim who present an opinion here with, a parallel challenge. Ula Rabba, da Amar Vishem Bikin Lishma, Li Betray. According to Rabba, we should need two guys coming and saying this. Why? Midi Dahave Akol Eduyot Shabbat Torah. After all, any time you testify about something, there has to be two, especially when it comes to something dealing with Arayot. After all, there's something that we saw many times in Masachet Sotah. The Torah says, Al Pishnaim Eidim Yakum Davar, and Kimatzah Ba Ervat Davar. And Davar gives us, it's not explicit here with the psukim in the text, but it's something that's well known. Davar gives us the notion that Ein Davar Sheberva Pachot Mishnaim. Anytime you're testifying about anything doing with Arayot, you need two witnesses. And therefore, we should have two witnesses here to testify that this get was written properly. So the answer is, Eidacha Neman Bi Isurin. Now this seems to be stand at odds with the notion of two witnesses. But Eidacha Neman Bisurin is a principle that the short version of it is that one witness who testifies to the proper status of an item is believed. And the classic example is, you have some meat there, you don't know what it is, one person says, I know that that's kosher, it's kosher. That's how we eat in each other's homes. You trust the person who made the food, and they say, Eidachad neman bisurin. So the Gemara immediately challenges that. So therefore, in other words, according to Rabbah, one person comes and says, I know this get was written properly, we believe him. So we challenge that and say, Eim, we're damrin and Eidachad neman bisurin, when do I apply the principle of Eidachad neman bisurin? I have a piece of meat, safek shel chelof, safek shel shuman, it may be treif, it may be kosher, it may be chelof, fat, it may be acceptable fat. Deloit chazik yisura, that there is no chazaka here. In other words, it's not as if this meat has a predefined status that the witness is trying to overturn and say, no, it's not treif, it is kosher. We don't know what it is. So one witness comes and clarifies. Aval hacha ditchazik yisura de eshet ish, but here this woman is a married woman. We know her to be a married woman, and you're trying to subvert or change that chazaka. Have a dover shaberva. Now it's a dover shaberva. Ain dover shaberva. Pacha mishnayim. You need to. So how is Rabbah going to explain, according to his reasoning, that the purpose of the takana was because ain bikin lishma? How does one witness come and ratify this get, which is changing the chazaka of the woman from an eshet ish to a pnuya, to an available woman? So the answer that Rabbah gives, or would give, is rov b'kein hein. The truth is, most batei din know what they're doing. Right? Which means, we really can assume that the get is fine. Vafil or meyer, the chayish l'minuta, even or meyer, and Rameyer's opinion is something we will encounter later on in Gittin, we've seen it several times, who is concerned about the minority possibility of things not going right. Stam safri d'daini migmar gmiri. Here it's not a question of a probability issue. It says the norm is that somebody who's a safri d'dayani, the scribes of the Beit Din, they know the laws. And therefore even our mayor would agree that a get that comes to us, we have to assume is fine. For Rabbanan Hudatsuch, it was a later rabbinic concern that said, because we now know there's some batei din that don't know what they're doing, so every get that comes from Dinat Hayam has to have this declaration. It's a rabbinic concern. Here, to prevent the terrible possibility of an aguna, a woman sitting there with a get that we're not allowing to take effect, and yet her husband's not living with her, and she can't marry anybody. Because of that, we were lenient and said one witness coming is enough. Haikulahu, is that really a leniency? It's a chumrah. Chumrahu. Why? Dimitzachat latre, if you tell the guy you need to send to, he'll send to. So loati balmara pasale. Then the husband cannot come later, if he changes his mind, turns out he didn't really want a divorce, or he's going to lie and say it's a forgery. If he comes against two witnesses, he won't be believed. But avalchad ati balmara pasile. But since you're allowing one guy to come, one guy comes, then a month later the Baal shows up, or a year later, and she's already married somebody else. The Baal shows up and says, I never meant to send that get. That get is invalid. I never sent it, because he changed his mind. And because he's challenging only one witness, we'll believe him. So in other words, we're really kind of setting up a possibility of a tragedy by allowing one, which you think is a kula. The answer is, kevan de amar mar b'fnei chamanot nola, since the rule is, in front of how many people do you have to give her the get? This guy, this agent, gives her the get in front of how many? Not alone, but rather, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, chadamar b'fnei shtayim, chadamar b'fnei shlosha, either in front of two as witnesses or in front of three as a beit din. In other words, it's the shliach is doing it publicly. Mikar meidak daik v'lo ati l'ri nafshe. Therefore, since the agent knows he's going to be doing this in front of a beit din, he's going to make very sure, when he gets the get from the husband really means it. And the husband's not going to change his mind. He said, I'm not going to go on your agency if you're still kind of unsure. When you're sure, and then I know that you're not going to come and try to subvert it and change it and claim that it was a lie, then he'll go. So because he has to deliver the get publicly, therefore he'll be careful to make sure that the husband really meant it and won't change his mind. That's Rabbah. So we ask the question, according to Rabbah's reasoning of the Fishein Bikin Lishma, why don't we need two witnesses? And the answer we said was, you really don't need two witnesses. You really don't need any witnesses. It's a rabbinic concern that normally we would require two, but in this case, to allow her to marry, we say one is enough. And we're not concerned that one is going to defeat the case, because then the husband will come and claim, I didn't really mean it. Because the shaliach, since he has to give it publicly, will be careful to make sure that the husband really meant it. Okay, that's Rabbah. Now you're going to see the parallel discussion in the case of Rava. So Rava says the concern and the reason we have Fana Nichtav is because witnesses are not available to ratify their own signature or to confirm their own signature. Libi Trey, so we should need to. Midahavne Kiyum Shtar Talma. There's a sugi we learned in the middle of the second parak of Ketubot, that you need two witnesses to confirm a signature. A person confirm his own along with somebody else. The two witnesses can come and both confirm each other's, but you need two. So how does this guy is able to do it alone? The answer is, again, Eid Echad Neman Misurin. Again, we ask, Eid Echad Neman Misurin, Chaticha Safek Shachel Safek Shashuman, Toit Chazik Yisura. When do we say Eid Echad Neman Misurin? When there's no status here that's being changed. Hachet Chazik Yisura Eishad Ish, but here, this woman is an Eishad Ish. Vedavash Me'erva. Vedavash Me'erva, Pachem Mishnaim. I told you it's a parallel sugya. So the answer is, Bedinu de Bekimashtar Nami Lo Libi. The answer is that really we never need witnesses to confirm a signature. Why could a Rish Lakish? Based on the dictum of Rish Lakish, Tam Rish Lakish, Eidim Achdumim al Ashtar, when you have witnesses signed on Ashtar, Na'asu Kamish Nechkra Eidutan Veveitin. It's as if they were already quizzed and investigated in Beit Din, which means that Mida Oraita, a signature on a get is considered, on a Ashtar is considered to be valid. Which means when this guy shows up with a get, really, we don't need any confirmation whatsoever. Rabbanan Huda Atzuch, and again, just as we had with Rabbah, Rabbanan Huda Atzuch, it's the rabbis who said, just in case, let's have some confirmation so that the owner of the get, the one who signed on the shtar, doesn't come and challenge it and say it's a forgery. And here, because of Iguna, again, the concern of having her be an Aguna, the Rabbanan were Mekel and said, one witness is enough. So Hakula Hu Chumru, the same challenge. If you say she needs two, the fellow needs to send two, the husband won't come and challenge it because there's two against him. But if you only say one, which you think is a leniency, the husband can come and mess everything up. The answer is, same exact answer we had. Okay, so we have the parallel sugyot of Rabbah and Rava, and why do they allow one witness? And the answer in each case was that really you don't need any witnesses. And it's a rabbinic concern, and because of Aguna, we allow the leniency of allowing only one witness. All right, now, V'Rava, my tam alo amar k'Rabba. Why didn't Rava like Rabbah's reason? After all, Rabbah was his Rebbe. Why didn't he like Rabbah's reason that says the issue is b'kiyin lishma? So Amar Lacha, meaning we're reconstructing, this is what Rava would have said. Miktar in Fana Nichtav Lishma, the formula doesn't say Bifana Nichtav Lishma. I mentioned this in the Mishnah. The formula doesn't say that the guy says, I saw it written Lishma, he just says, I saw it written. Fana Nichtav Lishma. So how would Rava answer that? How can Rava say that the issue is Bilishma when that word is missing from the formula? So for Rava, Bedinu Delit Nihach, he said, really, you should have necessitated the guy saying Bifana Nichtav Lishma, Bifana Nichtav Lishma. But if you make the formula too long, he'll cut out part, he'll leave part out. So maybe he'll cut part out now, he won't say everything. The answer is, when you have a three-word formula, you might cut one thing out. Shalom Alecha Rebbe, say Shalom Alecha. Right? When there's only two words, you don't cut one of them out. That's just the way people think, and people deal with abbreviating their own sentences. Alright, so that's why Rava didn't like Rabbah's reason, because if that were the case, then the formula should say Lishma, and that's why, and Rabbah's defense is because really they should have made him say that, but it assumed in the words of Fana Nichtav is Fana Nichtav properly, but we can't make him say it because he might mess it up and not pronounce it, and then if we necessitated Fana Nichtav Lishma, and he only said Fana Nichtav, then it would be no good because then he's Mashana, he's violating the Matbea Shetivu Chacham Megitin. And once he doesn't do it in the exact proper formula, then it's invalid. So we made a simple formula. Now, Rabba Maitamala Markarabba, so why didn't Rabba like Rava's reason, which is that the concern about confirming the signatures, too low. He said, if that's the case, then why say Bifana Nechtav? Nechtav is irrelevant to Edim. Just have the guy come and say Bifana Nechtav, and then that confirms the signatures, and we're done. Bifana Nechtav Lamali, why does the formula include Bifana Nechtav? Shmamina Bainam Lishma, Shmamina, it must be that the reason is because of the kashrut of the get being written properly. V'Rava, how will Rava defend that? Bedinu Delit Nihachi, he said, you're right. Really, the guy should have only come and said Bifana Nechtam. But what would happen if we did that? Ela De'im Kein Ati Lichluf B'Kim Ashtaro Ta'alma Beit Achad. What would happen if people saw that one guy can walk into a Beit Din with a shtar and say Bifana Nechtam, and we say We stamp it, and we say this is approved. Then we're going to start saying all kiyum shtarot can happen with one witness, which we don't allow, as we saw in Ketubot. So for Rabbah, how will Rabbah defend that? He said, Hatam Midami, the two cases aren't alike at all. You can't compare this to kiyum shtarot, that it's so close that if you allowed one witness here, you would allow one witness there. First of all, Hatam Yadinan, in the case of kiyum shtarot, you have to come and say, we recognize the signature. Hacha, you have Befanai, in my presence, a different formula. Hatam Ishalo Mehemna, in the case of kiyum shtarot, we don't accept the testimony of a woman. Hacha Isha Mehemna, here the woman herself or another woman, an agent who's a woman, could say it. Hatam Bal Dover Lo Mehemna, in the case of kiyum shtarot, one of the litigants or people who the shtar affects is not trusted. Hacha Bal Dover Mehemna, here the woman herself could bring the get, she's certainly affected by it, and she could make the statement. So the two are not alike at all. So how would Rava defend it? Why would we see these two as so close to each other that we would confuse one for the other, that we have to add b'fana nichtav to make it different? So if Rava amar lecha atu hacha mikamri yadinan, Rava is forced by his own logic to say that if the guy came and said, instead of b'fana nichtav, he said yadinan, and I recognize the signature, that it would be good. So milo mehemni. So Kevin the Khyamri Yadina Mahini, since if he said Yadinan he would be believed, which is exactly what happens with Kiyum Shtarot, I recognize the signature. Then the concern is that I would then start allowing Kiyum Shtarot in a regular case with one witness, and therefore he said we had to add Rifananikhtav. And now we have seen the presentation of Rava and Rabba, which we are not close to be done with, but that's a start for us. And Yitzhak Hashem will continue at the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph in the next podcast. Everyone should have a wonderful day.